Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen. For all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. brothers can you think of in scriptural stories? It goes all the way back. Cain and Abel. How did that turn out? Jacob and Esau. Do you remember who the older brother was in that story? You're right. The parent, the ancestor of all the promises of Israel, was the one who stole the birthright, who grabbed his brother's foot on the way out of the womb. Other brothers from the Bible. You scratching your brains yet? How about all those sons that Jesse spread out for King Saul to anoint to be the next king? Not this one, too tall and handsome. Not this one, too muscular, too well-spoken. No, no, no. How about the shepherd boy in the field, the one that you didn't bring me? Maybe the sons of Jacob. Go back a couple generations again. The 12 tribes of Israel, well, they weren't known that as that just yet. But there's a whole bunch of boys, 12 of them in that family. And one of them was particularly blessed. How'd that turn out? So, when Jesus starts a parable with the words, "There was this father and he had two sons," the audience knows there's some tension coming up. We know. This story is probably going to go someplace that is going to make us uncomfortable. And so he tells the story of the prodigal son. Now I promise you it is accidental that we're reflecting on the story of the prodigal when both of my children happen to come home in the same weekend. It's nothing to do with you two, okay? And yet the good news has everything to do with each of you. You know this story. If you've grown up in the church at all, you've been taught this story since your earliest years. There was a father who had two sons. And one wasn't content being at home. He said, "Give me my share of the inheritance." And so the father gives them both their inheritance. The father's not skimping out on the older son. He gives them both their inheritance. And the younger son runs with it. And he finds that life is miserable. Even after he's spent all of his money and had all the fun he's wanted to have and sowed all the wild oats he wants to sow. I don't know if that's even a figure of speech kids know anymore. But there was a famine. And he came to his senses. And he starts to think, my father's slaves are better treated than I am. He's feeding pigs, for heaven's sakes. Now, I assume that in telling this story to a Jewish audience, Jesus is assuming that these folks would go, "Ew, feeding pigs? That's nasty." I mean, even for those of us who appreciate pigs and have made a decent living from pigs, pigs smell. Pigs smell. But he was willing to eat and share the food with the pigs just so he could get some food. So he's kind of hitting bottom. So he practices his speech to his father. He says, "You know, even if my father's slaves eat better than this, I will go back to my father and I'll repent. I'll turn around and I'll ask to be a slave of the Father, because even the Father's slaves are better off than I am right now." So he goes back and he's practicing his speech in his head. Have you ever done that? Like, "I need to say something important. I'm going to practice this. And he gets to the Father and he starts to give his speech, but the Father is already running to him. Running. He sees his wayward son. And the father comes running. And he says, "Let's have a party. The best party. Let's kill the fatted calf. Bring out a beautiful robe. Put some sandals on that boy's feet. My son who was lost is found and is now home. Let's have a party." And do you know, that's where our Sunday school lessons stop. That's where our lectionary used to stop. We used to be able to say, "And the boy came home, and the father threw a party, and they all lived happily ever after." Is that how your family works? Most of ours don't. Because whether you're in a family by blood, or you're in a family by community, you're in a family by church, you're in a family by whatever measure of community you create, there's always going to be more to the story than they just threw a party. And so the story continues. The older son, who's behaved himself all his life, probably invested some of his inheritance and did well with it, and still stayed at the farm and helped dad, he's mad. Because he did everything right. And he was good. And, you know, charitable and helpful and useful and all of those things. Why does this wayward son who's blown everything already get to come crawling back and you throw a party? And that's kind of where we have to find the good news for ourselves. Because the Father says, "Come join the party. I want my whole family together. It's your choice. But you killed the fatted lamb." Did I just misspeak there? Brothers and sisters, parables are stories that point to bigger stories. Now, we've probably all been asked, if we grew up in the church or spent any time in it, who do you associate with in this story? Are you more like the father who's generous to everybody and you give and you give and you give? Are you like the wayward son who's finally found his way home? Are you like the older son that's always done everything right and gets irritated when an outsider, when a misfit, gets celebrated for coming back? Yes. You are probably all of the above in some relationship that you are in. Prodigal, by the way, doesn't mean lost. Prodigal means extravagant. And here's where the story starts to tip itself on its head. Because it starts with these words. The reason Jesus told this parable. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners. You can fill in the blank who you think the sinners are. Coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." This is why Jesus tells this parable, because the older brother, the Pharisees and scribes, were complaining about Jesus, saying, "Jesus eats with sinners and welcomes them." Brothers and sisters, that is the whole point of the gospel. And if we've missed that point, we need to turn around and run back to the Father. Jesus comes to eat with sinners, to welcome sinners. And it's a good thing, because we are sinners. We may be, some of us, the most fine and upstanding people in the community. We may be, some of us, struggling with issues of anger and resentment, or God only knows what else. And I say God only knows because God does know. But what happens when we turn toward God? And turn toward God is a key phrase in this season of Lent. Turn toward God. Repent. They're the same thing. We're walking toward sin. We're walking away from the Father, so to speak. We're walking toward our own direction because I've got this, God. I'm going to have more fun my way. I'm going to get more money my way. I'm going to have more happiness my way. And then something happens. And we realize that all that stuff that's out here is fluff. It's not the real thing. And so we turn around. And that turning around and going back to the Father, that's called repenting. It's a good church word for turning around and going back to the Father. To say, I can't do this by myself. I don't have the answers. I can't pull myself out of this relationship problem. I can't pull myself out of this grief. I can't pull myself out of whatever it is I'm stuck in. And we turn back to the Father. Doesn't matter how far we've gone, even if it's only just a few steps, We turn back to the Father, and we practice our repentance speech. I am in bondage to sin, and I cannot free myself. We practice that. We do it every Sunday. I'm in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. That's, or similar words. And while we're doing that, as we're realizing that we don't have the strength to do it ourselves, God is already running toward us. God is already running toward you. Maybe it's hard for you to walk. That's okay. God's already running toward you. Maybe you're hesitant in your steps back toward God. That's okay, because God is already running toward you. And God wants the older brother, the younger sister, the older sister, the wayward, the strayward, you. Because God is ready to throw that party. Do you notice how many times we talk about that reunion with Jesus as a feast? We talk about the heavenly banquet. Images from scriptures. We talk about not the fatted calf, but the lamb who was slain, that we might live. The Lamb of God that took upon himself the sin of the world, that the Father might celebrate the return of all his children. The precious Lamb of God who invites us home, no matter how far we've gone. And we sing about this sacramental meal as a foretaste. We know there's just a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine, but we know Jesus is present. We believe Jesus is present, not just in the bread and wine, but in the community gathered, as we try to figure it out together. What does it mean for me to come home? What does it mean for me to turn back to God? What does it mean when someone else wants to come home and turn back to God? Am I the older brother who is resentful of sinners, outcasts, and tax collectors? Am I the younger brother that's just grateful that I could come home? Wherever you are, wherever you picture yourself in this story, welcome home. The Father is already running to greet you. The Father does not turn his back on you or any of your brothers and sisters. Any of your brothers and sisters. So as Chris read this morning from 2 Corinthians, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new, and all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled to the Father. Be reconciled to one another as brothers and sisters, fellow sinners saved by the grace of God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.